Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We are interviewing debut romance novelist Lauren Accardo this week. Her book, Wild Love, debuts, hits the charts this week. And we just dive into this whole world that we don't know anything about. What is a romance novel? What are the rules of the world? How fucking explicit can you get on these pages?
Can you say cock?
What's going on? Are there LGBTQ romance novels? How do you get into this world? Is it corny? Is it cool? Is it make you horny when you're writing? Such an interesting conversation. And if you want to hear the whole thing, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com/GWF, where you can get a subscription for as low as $2.99 a month when you sign up for the annual plan.
I am not one of those people who grew up like picking romance novels off my mom's bookshelf and, you know, reading them at a way too early age. I got a job as a marketing associate for a book publisher. I had long worked in illustrated books. And one day they were like, you're going to start being a publicist for our romance line. And I was like, I don't know anything about romance.
Without your consent, you're going to be our romance gal.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't know a lot about romance when I started, and I had to start reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised. I had sort of had all the preconceptions that a lot of people have about romance and found that there's some incredible writing. So it just converted.
What are the preconceptions? Just corny hack? I don't really have any in my head beyond that.
It's that it's a female-focused genre. So the idea is that because it's focused on love and it has a happily ever after, that it's cheesy or corny.
Right.
Or because there's graphic descriptions of sex, that it's trashy. And you know, we don't talk about most other media that way. We don't talk about movies with sex in them as trashy. If it's there for entertainment value, then we don't tend to talk about it that way. So, and I had sort of had some of those before I started reading it. And then I, for lack of a better term, fell in love with the genre and it really changed my mind. And I had to start promoting it. So I really had to believe in it.
Yeah.
And then I realized I'd been writing love stories my whole life. I'd always loved to write.
Christina loved that.
That's beautiful. I love like,
when would you first start writing them?
When I was really young and Do you guys know what fan fiction is?
Yeah, oh my God. Okay, wait. Okay. Yes.
Corinne Elizabeth Fisher know what fan fiction
is?
Okay,
I don't write fan fiction, but this resonates with me so deeply because my mom is a huge Dawson's Creek fan. Sorry, Mom, I'm blowing up your spot in a big way right now.
Whatever, she loves it.
But she used to spend like hours reading like Pacey Joey fan fiction online. And like for any TV show, there is fan fiction.
Oh,
so,
there's fan fiction for everything.
So it's like a spec script, except you're not trying to a writing job.
Right.
You're doing it because you love
it. Well, it's not in script format. It's in like book format. Because I think even like some like comedian, I want to say like, I mean, there's probably fan fiction about like comedians we know.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
And the person who writes it is doing it just because they love it. So it's probably good.
It's literally people who love whatever this piece of media is so much, they can't stand to see it end or they hate it. Like there's a lot of Buffy fan fiction where the fans hated the end, how they ended Buffy, so they rewrite their own endings.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was young, I loved boy bands and
which ones were your favorite? Yes, I loved Hanson.
Oh my God, Hanson fan fiction.
So I started writing these like
what was the
love stories about
Hanson?
Me. It was always me. It's always, you know,
it was always
right
what you know,
like
right what you know.
Why would it be anybody else making out with all three of those brothers?
Make your dreams come true in
exactly.
fan fiction. That's kind of the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Write how you want the story to end. And so it eventually, you know, evolved into actual fiction where I was making up all of the characters.
Uh-huh.
But I realized I'd been writing romance stories for a really long time, since I was probably 12 or 13, since we got a family computer. So by the time I was an adult, it was something that I did as a hobby. I would sit down at my computer and like crank out 1,000 words about two people who fell in love and all types of scenarios. So when I started reading romance as a romance publicist, I thought, I should try and do this. Like I should try and finish something, like start to finish. I should start with one story I feel really strongly about and write it from top to bottom. And it was a terrible draft. It was like just awful, you know, as first drafts tend to be. And then
was that like you thought it was awful, or did other people think it was?
Laura, this sucks.
Universally,
girl, do you love love, or have you ever had it?
The first version of whatever I sent to a writer friend, she was like, "Okay, you can't do this. Like, you can't do this. You can't do." There are a lot of there are just a lot of facets of romance that don't fly within the genre. Like, it has to have a happily ever after.
I was wondering about that.
And
okay.
All my stories do, but
it does.
It has
says
to.
Who made that rule?
Says the customers.
Exactly.
Okay. I imagine it doesn't sell if it has a bad ending.
Yes.
Or they want their money back if it has a bad ending, because you don't know until you get there.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen so much in traditional publishing, because they won't publish, traditional publishers won't publish a book that's marketed as romance without a happy ending.
Wow.
So if you were to submit something as a romance novel, they would tell you, like, well, obviously you have to fix the end.
Wow. Whole industry of novels has to have a happy ending. Isn't that funny?
Well, it's like, that kind
we
of
always
is...
think about pop culture. We always talk about how pop culture influences our early ideas of what is love and how should it go, and what is acceptable and what is unacceptable.
Yeah.
It also means like romance novels are the ultimate safe space for love, because it's always going to work out. God, that's
the only
safe
me.
Yeah. Just saying it out loud, it hurt my own heart. Fuck.
But that's when you talk about criticisms of the genre, that's a huge one, is that people say it's fantasy. Like, this would never happen in real life because, oh, it's a guaranteed happy ending. Uh-huh. And but a lot of people who are in the industry would say, what's wrong with getting your happy ending? What's wrong with things working out? What's wrong with, like, people drifting apart and coming back together? What's wrong with a woman being satisfied? Like, there's
it's everything right, you know, with all that.
Yeah. And like, consent is huge right now. Like, the romance genre has absolutely like doubled down on making sure that every sex scene includes some sort of consent.
Okay. I was like, consent for love? how do you get consent to love? That should be your next book, Consent to Love.
Consent to Love.
Oh my God. It could be about anything.
That sounds good, actually. Thank you.
But yeah, as far as like the sex goes, like, there has to be some verbal, or there has to be some form of consent.
That's great.
So like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
She gave him a thumbs up.
She checked yes on the handwritten letter.
Do you want to fuck me? Yes, no. That's cute.
That's so cute. I'm sure someone's
that's
written
that's really
this.
Cute.
It's in a book
Does
somewhere.
Does every romance novel have to have sex?
No.
How about a finger? Yeah. Right?
There are different, they call them heat levels. So
yes! I knew I was going to love this. Okay.
So it's like a taco.
There are, but it's truly, how spicy is this? There are closed door romance novels where there's absolutely no sex at all.
Okay.
Like Hallmark movies. And Hallmark has a branch of book publishing.
Oh.
So I can't say all, because I'm not 100% sure. I think most Hallmark novels are closed doors. You'll never see them have any physical interaction outside of like a hug or a kiss
now,
at the very end.
That's obviously not for children.
No.
With adults, they just don't. Adults don't want to watch fucking.
Their brand. I mean, the Hallmark brand is like. I mean, they're. If you remember, like, I think last Christmas season or two Christmas seasons ago, they had a commercial airing on the Hallmark network that featured a lesbian couple, and people complained and got it.
Okay,
off.
So it's probably for like conservative.
It's a
Christians.
Very conservative.
Very conservative.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
like it's like a Candace Cameron Bure is like that's like who's watching Hallmark.
That's the
that's
DJ Tanner.
DJ Tanner.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Very
okay.
religious.
Yeah. She found DJ. Jesus. Oh, and her brother Kirk Cameron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's her brother, right?
He's even more overboard.
Yeah, he has a network or whatever.
They're a terrifying family, but they're
sounds like it.
They market to
that kind of gal and guy,
people who only want to see them kiss once at the end.
Interesting.
But I'd say I'm going to make this up. This is not a real fact. I'd say 90% of romance novels have some sort of sex in them.
Yeah. Right.
Mine is pretty explicit.
I mean, like, I want to read about fucking.
That's why that's the number one reason I would read one of these novels is for explicit sex scenes.
You know, yeah, I got to pick some of them up because a lot of people have been telling me over the last year about erotica that you read, like literature.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
There is like heat, when you talk about heat levels, there is everything from closed door Amish romance is really popular. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is ironically, my book has been marketed alongside Amish romance.
He churned my butter.
I want to let people know, like, these are very different. Like, if you buy both of these, they're so very different.
So, like, is a heat level, like, actually marked, or would I have to, like, look it up online someone would review it that way?
You know, I don't actually know how you would know that.
Okay.
Except for that it's contemporary romance. You can sort of assume that most contemporary romance being put out there by a traditional publisher has sex in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So romance readers kind of know that, and they look for the books that are within their heat level. Like, if I picked up a romance novel and there was no sex, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah, me
too.
Like,
I like to know what I'm getting into.
So angry.
You know?
Yeah. I would write a letter. I don't write letters.
I would ask for a refund.
Yeah. I would tweet about it. I would, yeah.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and it's not just tossed in there so that there's something, you know, to get people to pick it up. It has to move the plot forward. It's
right.
Just like every, you know, it's just like movies and every
other
book you've ever read.
The initiation of
like,
the romance.
Yeah. And so, to a lot of people, it's necessary to a romance.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how, like, the Hallmark movies to me. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You know, the Hallmark movies to me don't ring very true because it's two people falling in love and then suddenly they're engaged and they've never kissed before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which is such a stupid thing to promote to any person. Like, how do you know? You're going to be a good couple if you don't fuck.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy that excerpt with our guest, Lauren Accardo, author of Wild Love, which is out now, motherfuckers. If you want to hear the entire interview and other full episodes of Guys We Fucked and full episodes of other exclusive podcasts on Luminary, like the C Word and other stuff, there's probably other podcasts, maybe Midnight Miracle. Oh, I listened to that the other day. So fucking good. Head on over to luminarypodcasts.com, where if you sign up for a yearly plan, you get a subscription for as low as $2.99 a month.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.